Okay, so we're holding today right at the beginning of the third parak, and today's daf in Masechet Nedarim is daf Chof Aleph. And now we're moving on to Nedarim, which are ipso facto Nedarim that are not really meant to be what it is that they're saying. Now, obviously, language is used in ways in which people understand the underlying meaning. So, I mean, if somebody says something which is a gross exaggeration. Oh, I swear, if that building isn't a skyscraper, there ain't no such thing as a skyscraper. But people use that word, skyscraper, I mean, it touches the sky. And then they understand that it's an expression. And there are also, of course, the type of nedarim in which you only make the neder in order to pressure people to move on. So they give you, you know, so it's like you listen into the conversations in the shuk. Everybody's always swearing, and I swear by my mother's life, I wouldn't give this for less than, and so on and so forth. The Arabs do that all the time. So we have here four different types of nedarim like that. Number one, we have nidrei zeruzin. So those are pressure point nedarim, where you're giving good motivation for people to, okay, let's not get stuck on this, all right, because this ain't going to happen. And we'll see exactly what this is talking about as the Mishnah continues. Then the rest of the parak, each Mishnah that follows is going to concentrate on a different one of the four Nedarim. Today we're going to talk about Nidrei Zeruzim. Then there's also Nidrei Havoi, where the language is grossly exaggerated, and it's nothing but people speaking in hyperbole, but this is the way that people speak. The Torah itself, as we'll see, speaks in this way. Nidrei Shigagot and Nidrei Onasim. So we'll talk about that when we get to the Mishnayos that explain what particularly makes something an ones and a shogeg. Now let's take the first case, a pressure point neder. Nidrei zeruzin, you're pushing people to move on. Ketzad. So this is somebody is selling, and he's talking to a buyer. So the guy says to the buyer, look, I'm telling you right now that I'm not going to lower my price to you less than a seller. A seller is for dinner, and if I do, then any money that I get from you should be a kona, and I won't be able to be nena from it. So there's no point in your pressuring me to accept less, because what good is it? I won't be able to be nena from it, because I make a nena, and I won't be nena from it. And the other guy says, well, you know, if I give you anything more than a shekel, which is half of that, that's two dinner, right? So then I'm ossering the thing that I buy on me as a konam. So there wouldn't be any point in my meeting your price now, would there? Because then I wouldn't be able to use the thing that I'm buying. Now, everybody knows perfectly well that the guy does not expect to get his full asking price, and the other guy does not expect the person to accept his initial offering price. That's how bargaining goes. That's the whole point. So if I'm using a netter in this fashion to make set points of pressure, it basically is just strong motivation to not waste time. Look, let's not talk about this, okay? What do you really want? Okay, so then what that means is that even though they're making the neder, the bottom line is that shneim rotzim b'shlosha dinarim. So basically, they're really ready to agree somewhere in the middle, right? So like, on three, that would be fine. So normally we have halacha, remember, that why that a person claims that he meant something, that's called dvarim shebelev. And dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, we listen to the words that you're saying. You said you're not going to go down below four. You said you're not going to go up beyond two. I mean, you can't say now that you didn't mean it. That would normally be the case. However, since over here shneim rotzim b'shlosha dinarim, so what that means is we're going to see that both are ready to agree all along. It's not that they can, shneihem ratzu, they can, in the end, reach some compromise point. It means that what they were really saying all along is that I got to get this other guy to move a little bit. I'm not ready to go all the way to four. And this guy's, I'm not ready to go all the way to two. Now, the question is, does that mean that there is some point where it is a real matter? In other words, if the other guy, say the seller accepts less than four, I mean, if he would insist the other guy give him all the way the four, and the guy gives him the four, so is then the guy who gave the four really going to be over on his netter if he pays that much money, or vice versa? So that's a machlokas, whether these nedarim represent real points at some place, and we're just deciding that, you know, it doesn't mean literally that you can't slide a little bit from your position. Or is there actually no meaning at all to the neder? Now, the Ranolds is no meaning at all to the neder. They're just pressure to darim. But there are shittas among Rishonim who hold that, look, I mean, the actual words of the neder mean, you know, that, look, you know, I can't go all the way down to meet you. That definitely is what it's saying. Okay, but as I said, the Ran doesn't believe that there's some particular point where the neder would be chal. And there's a lot of indications to that from the Sugya. Omale Rebaba Bar Moma Le Rebami. You know, you were the one who set over in Rebbe Yehuda Nesiya's name that the Tana of the Mishnah of Arba Nedarim is what we just learned yesterday at the end of the previous parak, which was Rebbe Yehuda who quoted Rebbe Tarfon about this idea of hafla'a. That things have to be clear at the beginning. And if you don't actually express exactly what things are going to be at the end, if there's any suffix in the statement, so then it's not considered to be a Naziris at all. Remember that was the case where two people were outbidding each other. These two hicks are both going to say, you know, well, if it's not this guy, be danged if I ain't an editor, and the other guy says just the opposite. So over there, we had a number of different approaches, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, there's something wrong with that neder, no matter what turns out to be in the end. And it doesn't matter whether it is 100 kilo or it isn't 100 kilo, if it is Mr. Ruvain or it's not Mr. Ruvain, because since it isn't clear at the moment of the actual expression of the neder, that is not called Ishkiyafli, and therefore there cannot be a Nizirut they were talking about, but that would be the same thing as the Nedarim, who is going to be Yafli, Lindor, Neder, Nozer, Lazer. So you said that the idea has to be that I say clearly what is the intention over here. So you would say that actually, in the same way that a Nizirus that is based on my figuring out what's going to be, is not a Nazirah, so Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the same thing would be true about Nedarim. And in the Mishnah, we have the fact that both the seller over here and the buyer are really making a Tanai. The Tanai is, if I pay more, or if I offer for less. So, okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rabbi Tarfon understood this is that it wouldn't matter in the end what happens, because since I'm a listener, and I could say, look, you know, I don't know what's going to be. I mean, I don't know if the guy's going to go down. I don't know if the other guy's going to go up. I don't know who made the neder. So that's exactly the same situation as the guy who says, I'll be a nozer if that isn't Reuven, and the other guy says the opposite. Well, I don't know who's right. So basically, the statements don't mean anything currently, and therefore they cannot end up meaning anything. So that would be the same thing over here. The reason that we don't view these Nedarim as being Nedarim in any way is because they were based on what's going to be working out. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that whatever's going to work out, that this is how Rabbi Tarfon understands it, isn't a Neder, no matter how it works out, because it has to be Mufla at this moment. Says Rava, I don't see that that's the only way to understand the Mishnah. I would say, even if our Mishnah is going according to the Rabbanan that we had before, who disagree, and they said, remember, that in the zero, it's not a question of hafla'ah, it's just a question of not knowing. So then, if that's the case, because what you're assuming is a different understanding to this Mishnah. You're understanding that when the Mishnah says that shneim rotzim b'shlosha, that means that they end up agreeing. But that's not what it says, is it? It says, Shnehem rotzim katani. What does that mean? It means that both of them all along were agreed on three. Now that has nothing to do with the question of hafla'ah. If the issue were hafla'ah, why would the Mishnah have to explain itself by saying that the reason that these Nedarim aren't binding is because all along they meant something else? It's not a function of all along. According to Rebbe Tarfon, it's simply an issue of our not being able to know at this point. It has nothing to do with what the people are thinking. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying quite clearly that it's not because of that, and it's because of another issue, that we understand that it's like an umdana. The Chachamim said that even though normally Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, in this case, Obgavi, by the way, that should be written down, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, so that in this case, Shneim Ratzim, we understand what the intent is, that all along I'm just trying to get the guy to move away from his stubborn position and come towards me and we'll settle. So fine, so if that's the case, it doesn't have anything to do with Hafla'ah. Omele Ravina Larvashi, so let me ask you something. I mean, basically what you're saying is that we are looking at this as an assessment that we're making that this was really the intent. Now, there's a number of issues that allow us to make that kind of assessment. I mean, first of all, it's sort of a loose kind of argument. You know, so one guy is talking about a selah, one guy is talking about a dinar and a shekel, and they're really not even mentioning the dinarim and so on. So it's sort of gross values that we're talking about over here. And then don't get into the details. But what if they would get into the details? In other words, what if one guy would have said, well, I'm not going to accept anything less than $1.98, you know? $1.98. Say I won't get it, take anything less than $2. I mean, whatever, right? So isn't there a difference between saying, look, I'm not going to make anything if you don't give me $2.03. And the other guy says, well, I don't think it's worth any more than $1.59. You know, okay. So, I mean, now we're sort of getting into the details, aren't we? So if you're getting into those kind of details, so then I don't know, maybe you really mean it. That's one way of understanding this. The other way of understanding it is, that they're too far apart for it to be a serious negotiation. So what happens if one guy goes below and the other guy goes above, which means that they're further apart than we said, okay, a selah and a shekel, fine. But what if he says a selah and a quarter, you know, and the other guy says a shekel minus a quarter? Maybe that's too far apart. And maybe at that point, each person says, ah, forget about it. The guy's a joker. Get out of here, man. I wouldn't sell it to you anyway, right? And that's really what he's saying, that he's insulted and he's angry and he's not interested in negotiations, at which point you can't call this a negotiating position then. I mean, the guy's basically rejecting, and I want to talk to you about it anymore. Get out of here. So that's the two ways of understanding Ravina's question to Ravashi. The Ran brings both of them. And what if the seller says he wants more than a seller? He wants a seller and 5 cents. And the other one says it's slightly less than a shekel. Is that a real netter? Or is that also just a pressuring netter? Omar Leiser of Ashi said, what's your question? This is basically addressed in the Mishnah later on. The Mishnah later on says that if somebody's trying to pressure someone to eat in his house, so he's being misarev b'chaveiro sheyochal etzlo. And the other guy says, listen, I'll tell you right now that I'm making a konim, even setting my little toesy into your house. I am not going to walk into your house, you understand? Or he says, what do you mean I should come and eat a meal? I wouldn't take one drop of cold water from you. Okay, so it says over there, it doesn't matter. It doesn't literally mean he's not going to walk into the guy's house. It doesn't literally mean he's not going to drink even a drop of cold water. He is just simply trying to avoid getting into another one of these 3-hour walking out totally inebriated, being sick for 2 days. I know the kind of little, let's just have a little drink. I've been there before. So that kind of thing, he says, no, you're not getting me into this again. I'm not going to walk into your house. Too many times I've been taken out by stretcher. There's a great stories in Harriet about this. It's a guy who always does this to him. And it's really hilarious. So this says over there in the Mishnah that that's really all that he means. Shalonit kavein zeh, ela l'shum achila v'shtiyah. I mean, he's talking about some serious, you know, eating and drinking. Now, I mean, I ask you, weren't they pretty far apart? One guy's offering him, like, this massive banquet, and he's saying, I'm not going to take even one drop of cold water. I mean, it sounds to me that's pretty far apart. or on the other basis. It sounds to me he's being very specific. I don't take one drop. And nonetheless, what do we say? That Lonis Kavin Zelushumachilavishtia. Why don't we say that they're, after all, with this kind of distance between them, or with this type of diuk? I mean, he's saying Tipatsonin. Ella, the point is that people will go to extremes like this to assert their position. Mishtayin and Shiachi, people talk that way. It doesn't really mean seriously. He's not going to have a drink of water. So Hachinami Mishtayin and Shiachi. So why would it be different in Ravina's negotiation case if they're far apart? So why wouldn't we say the same thing? Well, people can talk that way. Says Ravina, no, man, that's a completely different issue. It's obviously a different issue. When you're talking about negotiations, you have over there a set window. There's like a spectrum in which these are the ways that the negotiation usually goes. When you're talking to somebody about just come on in and have a little sandwich, when we know that that could mean anything, okay? Why? Well, because take a look at Avram Avinu. Tzadikim omrima atvo simarbe. You know, come on in, have a little drink. Yeah, come on, have a little drink. Eat a whole tongue with the mustard dripping out of your pocket. And with all of that, God only knows what else is going on. I mean, if you're a malach, you're going to have a rough time with one of those meals. So, okay, then of course, because of that, the guy just has to be very firm. But of course, he doesn't really mean that. But he has to be very firm. So he goes to an extreme. Okay, but if you really are truly negotiating, then why would you be getting into that detail according to that approach in the Ran? Or why would you stake out positions that are really not useful for negotiations? They're just too far. Look, I mean, this is one of the very serious things that you take into consideration when you deal with serious negotiations. I mean, you're dealing with a real estate offer. You don't put in an offer that the other person is going to find insulting. You know, that's too far. Get out of here, please. Go away. And he doesn't even give you a response. So there's always a question of, like, how low can I go? And the other guy's thinking, how high can I go without somebody just walking out and saying, get up, this guy's not serious. Right? So that's negotiations. But over here, I mean, I still don't know, because it's always a judgment call, you know? Dilma pochot misela v'yoter al shekel ka'amar could mean that he's ready to accept more, to offer more, or to accept less. And it really is just the pressure, zirusinave. But it could be. I mean, it's a good point that he's raising. I don't know how you could bring a raya from the case of the Seuda to this, T-boy. And therefore, we remain open on this question. Omer of Yehuda, Omer of Asi. You know, these four Nedarim in our Mishnah, you still, I mean, even though the Mishnah says that you don't have to be worrying about them, and that there's no issue, hitiru chachom. It doesn't mean hitiru. It means you have to ask for a heter, but you'll get an immediate heter. That's all that it means. So, arba nedarim alot tzrichim she'ela lechacham. You're still going to have to go. It's not automatic. You're still going to go. You don't have to go through all of the general discussions. Well, are you sure that you have charot, or do we have to find the petach, and so on? We understand that the idea is b'diraita, it's bichlal, not a neder, but we don't want people to be mezalzel in the dorim, and because of that, we will ask that the person comes in so that he can get a little pep talk about not making the dorim. So I'm going to, if that's the point, so then there are some of the rishonim who say what this means is that this is in the event that the guy said not a Talmud Chacham. But if he's a Talmud Chacham, then he's not saying that you don't need to go to a Chacham. So then Rav Yehuda says, you remember that Rav Yehuda always would go afterwards and say over the Mamorim to Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda said, when I said over this thing of Rav Asi, I said it over to Shmuel, he said, I mean, somebody doesn't know how to read, you know. The Braita says, Tana Tani, the Mishnah says, I mean, the Tana says, Arba'a nedarim hitiru chachomim. Hitiru chachomim means hitiru chachomim, my friend. And you're trying to tell me that means she'ela l'chacham? It doesn't make any sense. It's not the correct word to use. You cannot say that. So again, if you learn, like those Rishonim who say that we're talking about the difference between a Tam V'Chochem and a Ma'aret, so then, Einoch Hinami, the way that Rav Asi understood it is, yes, Mi'ikar Adini, Tiruch Chachomim, but if he's an Ma'aret, okay, fine. But Shmuel didn't think that that's reasonable. Now, another way of what Rav Asi was quoted is Rav Yosef Matin Lod HaShemayim Tzibah HaYilishna, that Omer Rav Yudah, Omer Rav Asi, now, this is very strange. What he's saying is that a chacham who's coming to be matir other nedarim that are not these four nedarim, 100%, these are automatic, and you don't have to go to a chacham. But when you do go to a chacham, then you should know that any other types of nedarim that you're going to come along to be matir, you can only be matir them by making them the equivalent of these four nedarim, meaning that they were not meant to be nedarim in the first place, which means what? Which means ein potchin becharata, means that you cannot. Now, there's a technical way of understanding that word, and there's a non-technical way. The non-technical way is ein potchin becharata. We will not simply start our conversation with somebody who walks into Beis Din and says, look, you know, I'm sorry I ever made this neder. That's not valid. Because we need to know that what it is that you're not standing by is not that right now you're sorry. We don't care if you're sorry. The fact that you're sorry doesn't mean that we can undo a neder. A neder can only be undone if you make it clear that retroactively you were always sorry. That's what we're trying to say when we're talking about it needs to be the equivalent of these four nedarim. So just like these four nedarim, the reason that itiru chachomim is because up front, we know that this is not what you meant. So if a guy walks in and he says, I'm really sorry about that neder. I was so angry. You know, now I've cooled down. I don't give a hang. You know, I'll make a neder. Okay, now what does that mean? Does that mean that during the past 3 weeks that netter was there, you were fuming, you're very happy that you had that netter, and now you cool down? So we can't undo something that you said because now you've cooled down. And therefore, when somebody comes in and he says that he's had charata, who cares? I need to know that your charata has to do with the time that you were no there. So now, this is the other understanding. The technical understanding. The meaning of potchim might be referring to the technical term petach. Now, a petach of a neder, and you'll remember that every year when we do Ataras Nedarim before Rosh Hashanah, we always talk this out. The question of a petach is always retroactive. So if somebody walks in and he wants a heter on a neder, if he says, I'm sorry I ever made this neder, that doesn't mean anything unless we could say to him, so are you sorry that you were so upset and embarrassed now that you allowed yourself to get so upset and you just couldn't control yourself? I mean, basically anybody that's screaming and yelling and making a total fool of themselves because they're so upset about something, as they're doing it, they're saying, I know this is stupid, but I can't help it. I'm mad, right? Okay, so is that what you're telling us? So, that would be the equivalent of a petach. So what would a petach be? A petach would be, if you had realized, this is a true petach, if you had realized when you made that neder, that people are going to want to break off any kinds of close connections to you, because they don't like getting involved with people who take themselves too seriously and who put themselves in positions of nedarim. If somebody would have said that to you, hey, Joe, it's all very nice that you're angry, but you better control yourself. Would you have controlled yourself? You would have? Because at that point, you realize that, you know what, that's really true. It's just you weren't aware of it. But now you're aware of it. That is a petach. So the guy says, no, of course, if I were aware of it at the time, and it was certainly true at the time, I would never have made that neder. That is called a petach. Now, he's not coming into Beis Din because he now knows that. He's coming into Bethesda because he feels like an idiot. But I don't really care. I made such a big deal out of it. But that's not good enough, you see. So we need a Petach. Fine. So that would be the meaning of giving a Petach. Figuring out something that was quite true at the time, and that if there were any way that you would have known it and been aware at that moment, you never would have made the net.
It's a classic example of Rabbi Akiva and Kavos
Haver. No, it's not. It's not a classic example. No, because over there, that was something that was even a chashash of Neulad. So that's a little bit more complex, that case. Because things that happen afterwards cannot be used as a petach. Because the meaning of a petach is that it's retroactive. That's by definition. And that's the whole problem, as Tosis points out over there. I mean, what do you mean if you had known? But he wasn't. He was a total idiot. The fact that he went afterwards to become a Talmud Chacham, that you can't use as a petach. That's why. So that's not a classic example. Anyway. But getting back to this. So now the question is, potchim b'charata means can you turn the etzem charata into a petach? That's the question. Meaning, okay, you now understand that you're a total idiot for having been noted, right? You're just happy for the past 3 weeks. So let me ask you something. If you had realized at the time that, oh, do I look stupid? Oh, man, I got to control myself. That you would have controlled yourself. So then we're turning that charata into a petach. And we're saying that at that time, if you were fully aware, you wouldn't have done this, right? So then the very fact that you now feel like an idiot and you have charata is now translated into a retroactive petach. And therefore, the meaning of the words ain't potchim b'charata are technical. We don't use a charata as a petach, you see? Whereas the loose way of using it would simply mean, ein potchim, look, we're not going to just let a netter go by discussing the fact that you're sorry. That's just not enough. Okay, so the question over here is, do we utilize every charata and turn it into a petach? Or if we can't relate to the charata, and the guy is just saying, I feel so stupid, I made that netter. We're not just going to ask him, you know, you're saying you feel stupid now about then, or you feel stupid now? That's not enough. Ain't potrim with that. So here, we have some intermediate stages. So let's take a couple of cases, and we'll see that Rav Huna holds that you can make a petach out of a charata in certain cases. So somebody comes to Rav Huna and says, I'm sorry about having made this neder. So Rav Huna says to him, when you made this neder, were you in a rational state of mind the way you are now? So, liba chalach? Omar le lo, absolutely not. I mean, I was angry and I was stupid. And now I'm looking back at myself and I'm saying, how did I let that happen to myself? So what that means is that he's now saying that retroactively, I would not have made that neder. And therefore, Shariyeh, on the basis of a charata, which is not a charata about now, but it's a charata about the fact that I ever got into this, that is something that Rav Huna allowed. So he used the charata, but he made certain that it was a charata me'ikara, which is a simple way of understanding the potchim b'charata. Ha'udata l'kamid rabba bar Rav Huna. And now, there was another case who came to Rav Huna's son. And Rabba bar Rav Huna said to him, let me ask you something. Let's say that there would have been 10 people there, and they would all have been talking to you and say, you know, you shouldn't do this. It doesn't make any sense. Relax. Don't take it so seriously. Mina darta. Omar leilo. So he said, no, if that would have been the case, I would never have made the neder. Now this is somewhat different, right? Because, I mean, this is talking about that he's now inserting a new issue. Ilu hayo asara. And therefore, what does he hold? Well, Kasavar, he clearly holds differently than Rav Huna, because Rav Huna didn't make the guy go through this whole thing or not. Now, there are two Girsaot here, neither of which appear in our sugya, but which are important for us to go through in order to understand precisely how it is that Rabbah bar Rav Huna is different than Rav Huna. So the Ran brings, some have the girsa, kasavar ein potchin b'charata. And some have the girsa, kasavar potchin b'charata. And believe it or not, they both mean the same thing. That's why it's important for us to understand it. So as the Ran points out, they both mean the same thing. Because basically, look, if I'm saying if there would have been 10 people, that lies somewhere between a plain old-fashioned charata and an actual petach. It's not as good as a real petach. Why is it not as good as a real petach? Because there weren't 10 people. It didn't exist. There weren't 10 people telling him that. So I can't stipulate in the event that something else would have been there. I can talk about if you had been aware of something, but I can't say that since it would have been possible to talk you out of it, that's not a real petach. So basically what I'm trying to do is it's not as good as an actual charot of what we were talking about before. It's not as bad as just a plate charot. Right now I have charot. Because in a normal charot, I can't say to myself, well, there would have been a way that it could have been triggered that at that time I wouldn't have made the neder, right? I'm just saying, you know, if I could have been under control and I wasn't angry, and now I understand that it was stupid then to make the neder. But over here, I'm doing better than that. I'm not saying that I was hopelessly out of control. I could have been controlled even at that time. If people would have come and they would have talked to me, or if somebody would have given me a shot of whiskey or something, you know. I mean, Richie wasn't around. What was I supposed to do? So that is better than just the fact that now I realize how stupid I was then, you see? So therefore, both Lushonos, says the Ran, make sense, because Ein Potchin Charata means you can't just use plain old-fashioned Charata because now I realize I'm stupid then. And I feel like a total idiot. Retroactively. It's better than that. So therefore, Ein Potrin, just with plain old Charata, which is what Rav Huna did, he made a super Charata. On the other hand, Ein Potrin b'Charata, he didn't really make a Petach out of it, did he? It's not a technical Petach. So again, depending on how you read that original language, Ein Potrin b'Charata, does that mean you cannot make a technical petach out of charata, or ain't potrim b'charata, does it mean loosely using the word, don't just start off with charata. It's got to be better than that. So this is better than that, but it's not a real petach. So this is a very good example of the sliding scale of those two in Yoni. So let me just review with you what we have, therefore. We have the concept of charata itself. Charata is only needed when we get out of the realm of these Arba Nedarim, where we don't need Charata even. And that is because the Neder is understood not to have been meant seriously. So I don't have to explain that I'm sorry that I even, although if you're an Am Haaretz will make you say, well, you'll never do that again, right? And so on. Okay, fine. Then we're saying, take a Charata when someone walks in and says, oh man, I really feel like an idiot. I got all angry and I ossered my cousin to come into my house and I really feel like a fool. So then we would say that is only meaningful if the guy says to us, you know, I made a total ass of myself. I'm so embarrassed by the whole thing. I'm so sorry it happened. And there, obviously he's talking about not now. He's talking about then. So that would be just charata. And if I would use just that charata, it would not be making a petach of charata. It would be poteach b'charata. It would have said, okay, I just opened up the neder on the basis of a charata b'alma. That's plain charata. Then we have a better than plain charata, which is the way the Ran describes this situation of Rabbah bar Rav Huna. What is a better than plain charata? Look, you're telling me that you're miserable, that you feel like a total ass, and so on. I mean, But, you know, you might be such a total ass that there'd be no way for you to control yourself. I mean, would it have been possible if Richie had offered you some Talisker? Would you have taken some Talisker and calmed down? So then if he says yes, so then it shows that his charata is, in fact, a potential state of mind. And it wasn't that there's no point in discussing the fact that you feel you were an idiot. You really are an idiot. So how can we be mater and neder if you really are an idiot, right? But since you would have accepted a cup of Talisker, you're not that big of an idiot. Okay, so that's called the super charata. And therefore, you're not being poteach just with plain charata. But you are being poteach b'charata without making it into a petach. So again, you understand the language. The ultimate petach, which is actually the fifth darga would be a true petach, something else at the time. You realize that everybody's looking at you and they're deciding they don't want to hire you. You're looking for a job. Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. But, I mean, it was true at the time, and you know it. Yeah, I know, I just wasn't thinking. That's a real petach. And then the potchim b'charata is less than that. The very fact that you feel like you are such an idiot, if at the time you realize at the time that you're an idiot, or now you're an idiot. No, I realize I can't even think about it. I'm so embarrassed about what it is that I did. Fine, that would be making a petach out of the charata. So that if you had actually realized at the time how it is that you're going to look at yourself when you finally get your head screwed back on straight. So it's actually, what we have over here is many different targets if we include everything. One extreme is the netter was never meant in the first place. The other extreme is a real petach. And in between that, we have a charata now, is another charata, a charata in which the person views himself back in the past as being a fool, and that would be just a plain charata. That's a machlokas, whether we accept that or not. Then we have a super charata in which Talisker plays a role. Would Talisker play a role? I mean, of course, if the actual Talisker Rebbe came and talked to you, I mean, probably, we'll see later on that you're not allowed to ask, what would be if the Talisker came? The reason you can't ask that question is because nobody would have the chutzpah to say, even if the Talisker Rebbe himself spoke to me, I still would have made the netter. So he'll lie. That's a different thing. We're going to get to that and that later on. But that would be a super petach. That would be the worst. We can't even use that petach because people would be too embarrassed to deny it. Okay, but we're not up to there yet. So then we've got the straight out charata. Right now I feel stupid. I feel stupid now about then. I would have been able to be controlled back then with a little bit of extra help. You know, if I had my psychiatrist there, I probably wouldn't have done it. Then we can take that petach. And what if you would have been aware of how you feel now? Okay, then that's a petach made out of the charata. And then I have a petach that comes me mokam acher. If you would have realized that nobody's going to want to hire you because you have too bad of a temper, would you have made a netter? No, that's a real petach. And then we have super petach. What if the Talisker Rebbe would have told you this is not right? Okay, that we won't accept because we're afraid that you would lie. And you would say, no, of course I wouldn't have again. What are you going to say? You're going to say, I would have done it even if the Talisker Rebbe was there. Okay, so those are basically our six different dargas, right? So this is where we were up to, and this explains the way that you can actually have both girsaot, and the Ran would say they both mean the same thing. Ein potrin charata means the same thing as potrin becharata. I'm not getting any help this morning over here. I've just got some nut. Ah, I don't know. That looks like plain old-fashioned water. That looks like more coffee. Even what's going on over here? Even coffee seems to have uncolored water. Yikes. Where's Akiva when you need him? Gosh. There we go. Chaim. Okay. So let's go to the next darga. So now we have somebody who came to Rav Huna, and there is an actual machlokas tanoim. That's in the bright Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omrim lo la'adam, lev ze alecha. So when you made the neder, did you have the same awareness so that the way that you, there's two ways of learning this, just as there was before. Do you still feel the same way, or did you feel that way then, but you couldn't control himself? He says, no, this was not, the way that I see things now, obviously I had lost control of myself, and I was not in a normal state of mind. I was angry. Okay, so then if he says, no, absolutely not, so then we will b'mater him. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi omer mishum aviv. Omrim lo la'adam, ilo ayu asara b'nei adam shefaisucha ba'otah sha'ah. Min adarta? Imam arlav matirinota. So this is the same achlokas. We have to turn it into a super charata, slightly less than a petah, by saying, would it have been possible to have a control of your mind, assuming your psychiatrist was there, or you had 10 people telling you things, and so on. So that requires a little bit more. Now, we've got some stories that, because there are four Amoraim that they happen, so the siman is those four Amoraim. So we have one with Rav Asi, one with Rav Elazar, one with Rav Yochanan, one with Yana. Okay, so the guy comes to Rav Asi, and he wants a heter. So Omar like, Kado Tahita? Have you completely been Toher? Remember the Lashon of Toher? Toher al harishonot, like the Rambam uses, where a person could chas v'chalila lose all of his schuyas. Ach, I don't know what I was doing when I kept all of those mitzvahs. I'm crazy. That's called toher. So kado tahita. So now are you going back to be toher on what was there? Oh, my life, lo? What do you think? I'm such a total idiot? Of course. Visharia. So he was mater. The next mitzvah was v'dasilakam in the Rebbe Lozer. Omar le ba'ita nedar. Now, looking back, now, I understand you don't want the neder now, but now looking back, would you say that you're happy that there was a neder until this point? Omar le, are you kidding? I'm not that kind of person. If they wouldn't have made me absolutely nuts, I never would have made a neder like that. Omar le, so if that's that case, tehekiva'ita. Then you should go back to the state of mind that is your real state of mind, the way that you want to be, and therefore that would be the heter of the neder. The third case was he itita the adarta levrata. So there's a woman who made a neder against her own daughter that her daughter can't be nene from her. So she comes to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said to her, "Let me ask you something. If you would have been aware at that time that the neighbors are going to say about your daughter." The Amran Megirataich, your neighbors will say Allah divratach about your daughter, that ilu lo chamad ba'ima milin daziva, if her mother had not seen things in her that are mamish, made her into a whore in her mother's eyes, do you think that a mother would ever have abandoned a daughter like that? Man, this girl must be a slut. Is that what you wanted people to say about your daughter? So, because, I mean, for sure, b'chti lo adarta. I mean, no mother would have just for no very good reason made a neder like that. Boy, what did people know, huh? Mi adart? So would you have made a neder like that? And she said, no, of course not. Visharia, and he was mater her. Now, this is a real petach. This is not one of the semi, the charotas, super charotas, or anything. This is not making a petach out of the charata either. This is the same thing that we called a petach before. If you'd realize nobody's going to want to hire you, you know, it's that type of petach. It's a real petach. So is the fourth, except that the fourth case creates a problem of a super petach. And it's something like the Talister Rebbe. So here's what it would mean. The grandson of Rabbi Yanai Saba comes to Rabbi Yanai Saba and he needs a heter for a neder. So Rabbi Yanai Saba said to him, let me ask you something, my dear grandson. Ilu have yadat patchin pinkasach umemashmashin be'ovedach. Min adarta. If you would have realized that anybody who makes a neder in the Bezdin Shalmala, they walk in and they say, there's this kid, the grandson of Rabbi Yonah, who obviously thinks he's a big shot, and he can go around making the Dorim, and he wouldn't be over on a netter. Really? Bring out his file, will you? So they start looking through your file and find everything that you've done your whole life. This is the big, that's the big shot. You got to be kidding. Bring the kid up here and let's put him onto the rings. So would you have made a netter? No. Of course I wouldn't have made a netter. So Amar lay low? Of course I wouldn't have. So he was matir him. But is that really true? Oh, yes. Amar the Abba, Mikra, where do we find this in the Pasuk? The achar nidarim levaker. What follows nidarim comes looking through the records. Levaker, right? So now will be the examination, a very bad examination. Okay, fine. Now we're going to see that, I'll have a little bit more time. So avagav the potach Rabbi Yonah lay. So even though Rabbi Yonah said that that's good enough, we don't do that. Anan lo patchinan lebaha, we won't do that. Why? Because who's going to have the chutzpah to say that, yes, I would do that, you know? I mean, that's like begging for it, you know? Go ahead, open up my file. Oh, God. You got to be crazy to do that, right? So, but the point is, it could very well be that his grandson was in a state of mind at the time where he's just ready to trample over everything because he's furious. And sometimes people do insane things when they're furious, but they're not going to say that they would do it. So if you use a meida petach, you're in danger of a person misrepresenting the truth about himself, and therefore you're going to be matir the netter based on a lie because maybe he was angry enough to do this even at the time, in which case it wasn't a good petach. So we don't use that. And tomorrow we're going to see other things. I'll go ahead a little bit more. Okay. The lo patchina bahade achrinait, I'll tell you another one that we won't use as a meida petach. Because the Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you know what Rabbi Gamliel used as a petach for a certain zakein? He said, it says in the pasuk, yesh boteh. Now that word boteh, I mean, yeah, it's a really modern term, right? Boteh. But it comes from the pasuk. Levate bisvatayim. So nedarim are called levate. So therefore, if Shlomo HaMelech talks about yesh boteh, it means people can go ahead and be mivate bisvatayim to make a neder, but it's kimat kirot charev. It's like stabbing someone with a sword. And lishon chachamim marpe. It's only tamidei chachamim that can save you. So what that means is kol haboteh, anybody who makes a neder, ro'ui ledokro b'charev. The truth is, he deserves to be stabbed with a sword. But except that, thank heavens, we have such a thing as Heter Nedarim by the Talmidei Chachamim. Ela Lashon Chachamim Marpe. So would you have made a neder if you would have realized that you're roi to be shot for making the neder? We don't use that either. Even though Rabbi Gamliel used it, we're afraid that the kind of people that we would ask that question to, They would, of course, deny. No, of course not. Of course not. Even though they know deep in their hearts that they are nutty enough to actually do that thing. And I'll give you another example of a super petach that we don't use. This one is in a braita. Well, we've seen this before. The Rabbi Natan Omer, Hanoder ki ilu bana bama. So just making the neder is like building a bama. Now, there's no iser in building a bama. I mean, you're not going to use it. You built a bama. I mean, it's stupid. But it's the first step, right? What are you going to do? Why are you building a bama? You actually intend to bring a korban outside of Beis HaMikdash on a bama? No, I don't. Okay, fine. I mean, I can't put you into a corner and tell you you're doing a terrible iser by building a bama. But it's the first step. So it's the wrong thing to do. So just making the neder is kilu bana bama. And if you're mekayim the neder, then that's like bringing the neder. That's like bringing the korban on the bama. Notice, by the way, that these are the two zeha davar, right? The zeha davar is nedarim, And the Zeh HaDavar is the Halah Schutz, and Shrute Chutz. Okay, so it's a very good comparison, right? It's amazing. Everything is just so real. It's like, and the people, the fools who don't see these incredible meta structures that are just going through everything. It's, wow, mind-boggling. Anyway, so from the first part, the Kilu Ban Obama, that we will make a petachat. Because, I mean, a guy who says, well, I would have done it anyway. I mean, he's not Chas V'Shalom saying, I would have done an Aveira. You know, it's not like there's an Isser. He's not Chas V'Shalom saying, well, of course I wouldn't have. Okay, so that much, he wouldn't have lied. And if he says, no, if I would have realized that, I wouldn't have done it. So then we believe him. But the second part that says that he would actually be the equivalent of bringing a Kekarma B'chutz, Abaya says, we can rely on that. And Rava says, we cannot, because people wouldn't have the chutzpah to say such a thing. So, because, I mean, it's an Isser Koros, so maybe he'll be embarrassed to say, I would have done something like that. Chas V'Shalom. Okay, tomorrow we're going to have a opposite way of reading, that's why I didn't want to really start, because there's no place to stop. It's like one of those tzaddikim omrimat v'osim arbe kind of things. So I keep saying tomorrow, but I can't really wait till tomorrow. I mean, it's mamish right smack bang in the middle of a sentence. So
the chazara tomorrow, which would be great.
What's that? Yeah, okay, yeah, we could redo it, right? So Rav Kahana Masa Allah Shmaita Ba Dein Lishna, the way we just said it is the way that Rav Kahana said it, but Rav Tevyumi, he says it different. He says, in the Seifa, meaning the last thing, you cannot. Because for sure, everybody would be made that a person is going to lie, and he's not going to say, yes, I would have done an Isser Koros. Nobody would say that. The question was, even the Reisha, that's where we had the machlokas between Abaya and Rava. So where you just say, it's Ki'ilu Bon Obama, Abaya says, okay, so that a person is not going to lie about. Where Rava says, even that, I don't believe a person is going to have the chutzpah to say, yeah, I would have done it. Ve'hilchata, lo patrin, lo bereisha, v'lo b'seifa. L'maitz, we end up being machmir, and like Rava in this version, in which case everybody agrees the reisha, we don't, and we paskan like Rava, that we don't even, because we're afraid to be embarrassed, even if it's not an Isser Koros.